Hey there, you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at kmuz.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts and OSU Small Farms Program shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We are illuminating our collective mission on conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley. I'm your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator with the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. On this episode, we're talking with Wyatt Williams, Invasive Species Specialist with the Oregon Department of Forestry. Wyatt has been working with ODF for 10 years. I'm excited to introduce Wyatt with everyone today on the podcast to talk about his work and knowledge about particularly the emerald ash borer. So a big welcome to you, Wyatt.
Thank you, Morgan. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. I'd like to begin with a little introduction. So if you could share a little bit about yourself, your educational background, and what drove you toward a career in working with the environment.
Thank you. So a little bit about myself is I'm a transplant to the Pacific Northwest from the state of Nebraska, and I've always been interested in conservation and in particular agriculture and forestry. When I was a kid, I wanted to get that Jeep and drive around in the forest and literally protect our forest. So I feel like I'm living out a childhood dream here, but there are some real threats to forest in the western part of the United States from insects, diseases, and climate change. So we do have a lot at risk here.
And for those that may not be familiar, what is the mission of the Oregon Department of Forestry and what role does it play in conservation?
Well, the mission of the Department of Forestry here in Oregon is pretty diverse, but it incorporates serving Oregonians by protecting, managing, and promoting sustainable forestry in Oregon. So we do that through a variety of means. We obviously have fire protection that we provide for forest landowners. We administer the Forest Practices Act for sustainable timber harvest. We manage our own state-owned lands for forest values, and that includes environmental and economic benefits. So we're here to promote and provide sustainable forestry.
Wonderful. Could you talk a little bit about your role as the invasive species specialist and the work that you do with ODF?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So in my unit is the forest health unit, and we have a forest entomologist, a pathologist, myself as invasive species specialist, and we have a survey coordinator. Our mission is to survey and monitor the state's forests for insects and diseases and other stresses such as drought, climate change. And we do that through a variety of means. We actually have an agency aircraft, and we fly aerial survey flights over the state of Oregon in conjunction with the U.S. Forest Service. So we basically fly grid lines over the forest every year. We're looking for pockets of insects and diseases and ice storm damage, drought, fire. And we can map this and provide it to the landowners free of cost. So that's primarily what we do. We also do a lot of training and education on forest pests. Our unit deals a lot with sudden oak death. We have a sudden oak death program. So this is an invasive pathogen in Southwest Oregon that's been here for 20 years. And we have a treatment program for that. So insects and diseases are a central part of what my unit does for survey, monitoring, training, and some management.
Yeah, that leads me to a hot topic. For those of us that work in natural resources, the emerald ash borer is gaining a lot of attention, and rightfully so. As an invasive species specialist, a lot of us are leaning on people like you for information. So again, thank you for talking with us today. Can you tell us about EAB?
Absolutely. Yeah, EAB, I know it seems like it's new to the scene, but for those of us that work in forestry and forest entomology, we've known about this pest for a while. And we've been working on it here at the state for at least the last 10 years. And so At ODF, we did statewide surveys for Emerald Ash Borer. And starting in 2013, we've placed over 1,000 traps in 2013 to 2016, all of which were negative. And our counterparts at ODA and the USDA APHIS also had traps in the state. So the professionals have been looking and screening for our state for 10 years and plus. Some background about Emerald Ash Borer is that it was first detected outside Detroit, Michigan in 2002. It was previously pretty much unknown to science. It's native to Asia, but it started killing the ash trees around Detroit and across the border in Canada. And then it started killing more and more trees. So quarantines were set up in place, but the insect kept escaping quarantine boundaries. And within a matter of 5, 6, 7 years, it spread all the way across Michigan. And within another 5 or 6 years, it spread to several adjoining states. So there's been over 20 eradication attempts, and all of them have been unsuccessful. So it's a very slippery pest to detect early. Once trees are detected, it's usually about 3, 4, 5 years that the insect has already been there and left. So it's a hard one to detect early. We don't have very good trapping technology for it. So fast forward, after all these quarantines and attempts to eradicate it, it spread to Colorado by 2013. And that is the next furthest west population we have. So our closest population is the Front Range of Colorado. And then earlier this year, June 30th, we got a call from a professional in Portland metro area. And he reported some suspect trees at Joseph Gale Elementary School in Forest Grove. And our forest entomologist responded, as well as I, and several other entomologists confirmed it was Emerald Ash Borer.
Oh, yeah. It's unfortunate to hear that it's, you know, in the Willamette Valley area. I'm curious about the life cycle of Emerald Ash Borer.
Absolutely. Emerald Ash Borer is a specialist. It feeds only on ash trees, true ash trees in the genus Fraxinus. So ash trees in North America are susceptible, and we have 16 of these susceptible ash species in North America and only one native one to Oregon, and that's our Oregon ash. The Emerald Ash Borer adults start emerging in April and throughout the summer through end of August, even into September. They will emerge from the logs. They'll fly around looking for mates. The females will land on a new branch or tree trunk. She'll lay her eggs, and then those eggs burrow and feed just under the bark on the vascular cambium. They make these little tunnels, and there's so many of them, they basically girdle the tree in that vascular cambium, which is the living tissue right under the bark. And this is the tissue that's responsible for transporting the sugars produced in leaves down to the roots. So the beetles consume all this sugary vascular cambium in huge numbers and essentially just kills the tree. Then towards the end of their life cycle, towards the end of the year, as they are getting fat, they chew their way into the sapwood where they spend the winter and make a pupa, and then they emerge the next spring and summer. So the danger is for transporting this, and this is one of the reasons why it's been accelerated and spread so quickly across the United States, is that for those several months where they're just hanging out, making a pupa, they're in the sapwood. And this is a very easy thing to transport in firewood and untreated wood.
Yeah. Are there any other ways that it's being spread across the country?
So firewood and other untreated wood products is the primary way, or one of the primary ways, but the other primary way is through nursery stock. So Emerald Ash Borer, the insect, can develop in as small a diameter as 1 inch. A 1 inch sapling can hold Emerald Ash Borer. So it is conceivable that ash seedlings are shipped interstate and could have Emerald Ash Borer, but it seems like the solid wood material is the culprit.
And does EAB only attack dying or distressed trees or healthy ash trees?
Well, that's what makes this an invasive species. Usually insects and diseases will go off and attack weak trees, stress trees, like you mentioned, but invasive insects and diseases, they don't select for the weak ones in the population. They will go after any tree that's close by. So in states like Michigan and Ohio, there are some counties where over 95% of the ash trees have been killed. And actually, there's four or five species of ash that are now on the red list for threatened and endangered species. And we're talking in the matter of 20 years now. Emerald ash borer has only been in North America for 20 years. Within those 20 years, now five of our 16 ash species are on the threatened and endangered red list. So that's what's at stake here. It's something that in other states has moved very, very quickly, despite the best attempts to manage it. And so we can expect maybe something like that here, but we've caught it early too. So there are lots of planning meetings going on right now between various agencies. And that's where we're at right now.
I'm wondering about the identification of EAB and signs of infestation. Is this something that, you know, the average person can help with, or do you need to be trained to identify this?
No, absolutely. We need help from people to identify where it's at. Because this insect is so difficult to discover early, the more people we have looking for it, the better at knowing where it's at. We don't have a good trap technology for this insect like we do other insects. So we rely on people reporting it. And you can learn more about how to identify it through our Oregon Department of Forestry, Forest Health webpage. There are tools on there on how to identify it. We partnered up with Oregon State University, Extension Forestry, the Forest Service, and Oregon Department of Agriculture to develop programs, training programs. So we have a lot of resources online on how to identify emerald ash borer. To find the adult insect, well, they will be flying when it's out of the tree and looking for its mate. And so that's going to happen generally, like I said, at the end of April through the end of August, maybe into September. So really, we're looking May, June, July, August are the peak months that you would see an adult flying around. That's not very likely. What's more likely is to look for sick and dying trees and then the signs of that emerald ash borer has been there. So again, we have all these diagnostic tools at Oregon Department of Forestry, Forest Health webpage. You can see the tools, but mainly it's looking for under the bark, these galleries that are carved out by the larvae and the adults. And so Morgan and I are looking at a sample here in the office. And there's also these things called D-shaped exit holes. And that is where the adult insect, when it chews out, it has a characteristic body shape and it looks like little D's. So that's the only thing that makes that sign in Oregon ash in Oregon. If it's a dead, dying ash tree and there are D-shaped exit holes and these galleries under the bark, that is a big sign that it's emerald ash borer.
Just a quick update. If you're just joining us, I'm here with Wyatt Williams, invasive species specialist with the Oregon Department of Forestry, and you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. Okay, Wyatt, so this brings me to thinking about controlling emerald ash borer. Are there pesticides that we can use to prevent infestation, slow infestation, or treat an infestation?
Yeah, those are all really good questions and common questions, and ones that we have organized and synthesized into the Emerald Ash Borer Readiness and Response Plan. And that's another resource that the listeners can go to. It is basically a comprehensive plan for homeowners, for municipalities, for land managers, tools to manage for emerald ash borer. So that again is the Emerald Ash Borer Readiness and Response Plan, and you can find it at OregonEAB.info. So Oregon spelled out EAB.info. You can see it's like 86 page plan, but there is a section on control. Unfortunately, there are no foliar insecticide applications that one could apply from an airplane or helicopter or something to slow down this pest. The only thing that is available in terms of pesticides are tree by tree targeted insecticide injections. So you have to get a licensed applicator for this. So the landowner would have to hire this done, but you can inject individual trees with an insecticide and it travels systematically up and down that vascular cambium that I talked about. where the emerald ash borer feeds. So when an emerald ash borer, if it were to attack that tree, its larvae would encounter the pesticide and die. And so it provides very, very good coverage for individual trees. The only thing is you have to reapply it every 1 to 3 years. So it could get costly. You know, the applications are $150 to $300, $400 per tree, depending on how big it is. And then you have to repeat it every 1 to 3 years. So it is possible for cities and landowners to protect individual trees, but not something on a wide scale issue. And so again, here in Oregon, we have the native Oregon ash that grows in our riparian areas in the Willamette and also in the Umpqua watershed and the Rogue River watershed, all the way up into pretty high elevation. So it's a more widespread riparian plant or tree than people think about when they think about here in the Willamette Valley. It actually exists in other parts of the state.
And just to clarify, this injecting of an insecticide, is this something that can be done preventatively or just when you see signs of infestation?
Yeah, good question. It's actually a preventative. It can protect against early attack too. So if the tree has been attacked from maybe the first year, second year, and it's showing less than 20% of its canopy decline, then you can still save the tree. But once the canopy is more than 20% declined, then it's too late. So again, some of these symptoms are hard to describe over the radio here, but you have to look at pictures that the tree will, an attacked tree, that's one of the signs that's been attacked is the leaves just are stunted or they don't fill in as much. And so you look at trees like, wow, it's all the other trees around it are leafed out and they have big leaves, but this one is stunted and there's not as many leaves. That's a thinning leaf canopy. So if that thinning leaf canopy is more than 20% of it is thinned and 80% of it's healthy, then that's still that's right on the border being too late to protect it from emerald ash borer. That tells you how early you have to catch it. You have to catch it essentially before the single one is attacked. So knowing where an active EAB infestation is important. But knowing that boundary is difficult for professionals because the insect is so slippery. It's hard to detect it very, very early. But we do have the best tool possible. And we have people right now that have trained an army of people. They're using their smartphones. We have a survey app that several different agencies are using, including mine, Oregon Department of Forestry. Oregon Department of Agriculture built the platform. And they have an online dashboard where we can see where all the trees that have been checked and then the ones where emerald ash borer has been confirmed. And so far, that boundary is still in the Forest Grove area. It hasn't been detected outside, despite, you know, over 400 trees being inspected.
And as an alternative to an insecticide, are there any biocontrol techniques that people could use, such as insect eating birds?
Yeah. So we talked about individual tree injections for the insecticide. That's your only option for insecticide. But for biological control, Morgan, you're right. There is a biological control program. And so what that entails is, it seems like a crazy idea, but the idea behind classical biological control is to go to the native range of where an organism evolved and look for its natural enemies that keep its population in check. And this has been used really successfully for other pests across all taxa, whether it's invasive plants, insects. There are vibrant and vigorous biological control programs. Well, there has been a biological control program developed for emerald ash borer, and it's been used in some success in the Midwest. And so there's a facility that raises and rears these little tiny parasitic wasps, and the females of these wasps, they will hunt out and find eggs of emerald ash borer before they've hatched and turned into larvae. The wasps themselves lay their own eggs, which then develop and parasitize the larvae of the emerald ash borer, preventing it from developing into an adult. What we're seeing back in the Midwest is that these parasitoids, when you release them and you do get them established where there's an emerald ash borer population, they do provide 20, 25, 30% predation on the emerald ash borer population. Of course, that's not enough to slow the spread of an invasive pest through a host that has no defenses either. So that's the other thing, is our host tree doesn't have any built-in defenses. For whatever reason, it doesn't have any chemicals that can kill emerald ash borer. So the Biological control provides about 20, 25%, 30% predation. But another aspect, another component of the environment that provides a lot of predation are woodpeckers. Woodpeckers are just our native, naturally occurring woodpeckers can provide another 20, 25% predation. So again, you're trying to promote woodpecker habitat as well as you have a whole bunch of trees dying. So it's a complicated issue where you need to have really healthy forest, multiple different species and different age classes, and expect that there's going to be some trees that are going to be lost no matter what. Even if you have biological control, insecticide, we do have a new pest that is going to kill our native ash trees and planted landscape ash trees.
And a question that I hear a lot from people about this topic is, should I remove my ash trees on my property or should I wait to plant any new ash trees? Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, these are questions that we've been have been addressed to us, and some of them are easier to answer than others. First of all, to recommend to plant ash trees, we do not. And we, again, in the Emerald Ash Borer Response Plan, we address some of these questions, but we've been recommending to Oregon cities and communities to remove ash from any street tree plantings for several years now, because we've been trying to get the message out that Emerald Ash Borer is coming. So we know it's coming, and there's going to be a big price tag for removing ash trees. And a lot of the price tag comes down to the municipalities, utility companies, and individual landowners. There are some government programs out there, but they wax and wane in their funding.
Are there any other things that people should do or not do in terms of EAB to protect ash as part of our natural landscape? Or are there any other strategies that ODF is implementing for control that we haven't touched on?
Yes, I would recommend to people to take those signs serious at campgrounds that say, buy it or you burn it where you buy it, the Don't Move Firewood campaign. Because we know solid wood material, and including firewood, can harbor insects and diseases, it really is wise to wait to burn your firewood till you get to the campground, or keep your firewood, if you are harvesting firewood locally, please do not transport firewood more than, we have a rule of thumb, is 30 miles. 30 miles from where you harvest firewood, you should not move it. And so because firewood just is a big pathway for moving insects and diseases, not just Emerald Ash Borer, but we have others on the horizon. And there's, for instance, a new pest in California called Mediterranean Oak Borer. And we've detected a few of these in our state. And in this Mediterranean Oak Borer in California is killing valley oak. It carries a pathogen on this Mediterranean Oak Borer that it carries a pathogen that's a wilt disease. And we know this wilt disease can kill our native Oregon white oak. So, and we've detected a few of these beetles. So far, we haven't found any tree mortality, but this is another insect that can be transported in firewood. And that's how they think it's moving around California, is through firewood. So I just want to stress to the listeners to take that serious, to encourage your friends and neighbors to use local wood. And by local, I say within 30 miles. That's our rule of thumb for that. Other strategies, though, I do want to mention, there's a long-term strategy. There's a USDA program to conserve the genetics of Fraxinus in North America. That's how serious it's gotten. When we wrote this Emerald Ash Borer plan, we interviewed our professionals from other states. And one of the common things they said was, besides watch out how fast this goes, they said, we wish we would have collected native seed, because there are no seeds in the seed bank. No one thought of it. And so we did get out ahead of this in terms of seed collecting. In 2019 is when ODF got a special grant from the Forest Service, and we started collecting 1 million seeds from Oregon ash populations across the state in an effort to, first of all, conserve the genetics in a long-term storage bank, so those seeds are not being touched. But we also sent seeds to working research collections where they are being grown out and studied for their molecular genetics and for potential resistance, natural resistance to Emerald Ash Borer. There's actually, some of our seeds have been sown in research gardens in the Midwest. So researchers are looking at our native Oregon ash as a model for developing resistance to Emerald Ash Borer. And we're collecting seeds right now. So next week, I'm training two people here at ODF. This is our seed collecting season. So if you are a fan of ash, this is a beautiful time because the foliage is turning colors and its seeds are ripening and falling. The seeds are in fruits called samaras. Very beautiful when they fall off the tree. They kind of coast down to the ground, but beautiful fall foliage. And you can definitely pick them out and see their importance right now along riparian systems in Western Oregon.
I'm really happy to hear about the seed bank for Oregon ash. That's really good news. I do want to focus on the Oregon ash tree and the value that it has on our ecosystem as we wind down our interview here. How would the loss of Oregon ash impact our local wildlife and the landscape in general? Or in other words, why should people care about protecting this tree?
Yeah, those are good questions. It's hard to predict exactly what's going to happen, but we could take some educated guesses given where Oregon ash grows. And again, 80% of Oregon ash in the state grows at 1,000 feet sea level and below. It's predominantly a low elevation tree growing right next to streams, right? It forms these dense ash woodlands. So it provides a lot of shade and cover in riparian areas. So if you were to suddenly remove all that woody biomass and shade over these, then stream temperatures are expected to go up. There could be increases in sediment in streams. There could be changes in the plant community to more exotic pests such as blackberry. We don't really know. In other areas, it'll be less noticed, and other tree species will fill in the gap, such as cottonwood, big leaf maple. So other riparian systems might not be as impacted, while others that are severely or heavily dominated by Oregon ash right now, those ones that are nearly 100% Oregon ash woodlands, those are the ones that are going to probably have the most changes to their attributes. So again, we expect increases in stream temperatures in those areas, changes in the plant community, which have a trickle down effect on other wildlife, other understory plants, wildlife such as elk and deer and other critters that use Oregon ash right now.
Thanks, Wyatt. And again, where can people go to get more information on EAB or to report an infested tree?
You can find everything that you just mentioned at the Oregon Department of Forestry Forest Health webpage. You can find out more information on emerald ash borer, other forest insects and diseases. You can see the statewide plan for emerald ash borer, and there is a link on how to report a suspect EAB in your backyard.
And my last question that I like to ask everyone that I interview, what is your favorite natural space to explore in Oregon and your favorite Oregon critter or insect, and why?
This is such a hard question. Like I said, it's a dream of mine to live and work here in Oregon, and it's just an honor for me to help protect our forests here. But I'm from Nebraska, and so any place in Oregon is better than Nebraska, I have to say. But it's just so beautiful and scenic here. I love exploring our state and seeing the diversity from the coast to the ash forest of the Willamette Valley to the High Cascades. I mean, nothing beats Oregon. It's the best.
And your favorite critter?
Favorite critter, an ant. Believe it or not, my favorite insect are ants. They are interesting. They rule the world more than humans do.
Great. Well, Wyatt, I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate it. I've been talking with Wyatt Williams about emerald ash borer and how folks in the Willamette Valley can stay alert so that we can help preserve the Oregon ash habitat. And I'm your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator for Polk SWCD. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We are grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on any of these topics, please visit our website, polkswcd.com, and our Facebook page for follow-up information. Also on our website, you'll find information about upcoming events like the Native Plant Sale for trees and shrubs, pre-order coming in November, And if you liked what you heard on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesday of every month during Willamette Wake Up. On the next episode, you'll hear from Haley White, OSU Extension Small Farms Outreach Coordinator. She'll be talking with the Friends of Family Farmers. Thanks for listening and your light shining.